Chapter 17. 2 days later, I woke up saying her name to myself again. Why wasn't she here with me? This was her battle too. Heck, she was the one who got me into this. I got on the phone right away and called my boss. I can't come in today. Can you get someone to cover the pumps? You sick? No. Bud had treated me fairly. I wasn't going to lie to him. That's good. I don't like to hear about my employees getting sick. Usually means they're not eating enough of the right kind of foods. It's not that. What is it? The first barge of chemical garbage comes in the harbor today from down the coast. I want to be there. You still afraid there'll be more dead ducks? Yeah. Man, that could screw up this year's hunting season real bad. Bud was teasing me again. You tell those turkeys that if they kill off my ducks, I'll come down and shoot their ass. I'll tell them, I said. Thanks. And I hung up thinking that even if I didn't have any strong allies, I at least had a few people around who didn't think I was crazy. My parents were off to do the food shopping and meet with the real estate people. Somebody from away had put a bid in on our house without even coming to look at it. The bid was low, but my parents wanted to talk it over with the agent. I gave them one bit of advice before they left. Don't sell. This is our home. Dad just let out a long sigh and looked down at his shoes. My mom shook her head, and I know she wanted to give me one of her little motherly bits of advice, but she didn't say anything. When they left, I went out to feed Jack. I had to fix the artificial wing that Mr. Rearson had made, delicately repairing the tube frame with fiberglass and sewing the darken where it was ripped. I think it was as good as new, but I wanted to wait for Marina to be there with me when I let Jack fly again. It was illogical. As each day passed, it looked less likely that Marina would ever return, that I'd ever see her again. I guess I was being a little cruel to old Jack by keeping him caged, but I had other things on my mind. Once the regional authority had made its decision about disposing of imported chemical waste, there had been very little fanfare about it all. Ed Keller had tipped me off about the first barge coming in. Nobody was in a better position than me to keep an eye out for it. I decided to pack some food and go up on the hill behind my house to the little rock ledge that had a clear view of the entrance to the harbor. Down the shoreline, I had my sailboard ready. I was pretty proud of the job I had done on the sail. In big, bold black letters, taking up every inch of the sail, was the message, Rocky Harbor, no place for chemical waste. Long ago, I had given up on trying to enlist allies. With Marina gone, I was on my own. But if I was willing to take the risk that I was about to take, I realized I needed an audience. I needed someone to know that I was making a stand, that I hadn't just rolled over. So I phoned the news desk of the Daily News and spoke to a young reporter named Nick Wetley. I explained to him who I was and what I was about to do. I don't know, he said. The whole incinerator thing is a dead issue. We gave it a couple of stories a month or so back. You can't keep beating a dead horse. The public has lost interest. I know all about the public losing interest, I said. Maybe there's no story here at all, but think of it as this way. This is the first barge of this sort to ever come up this harbor. Heck, Ed Keller calls this an environmental breakthrough. That's got to be worth something. And you could get a great shot of the barge coming in the harbor mouth just as some maniac kid on a windsurfer, namely me, takes his life in his hands by blockading the harbor on a sailboard. You're crazy, Nick said. You said it. I'll call you when I see the barge approaching the harbor. That will give you about 20 minutes to get there. Pull up to the end of the road on the west side of the harbor mouth. I don't know, Nick said. It's an excellent photo opportunity, Nick. I could get killed. You'd be kicking yourself if you missed it. And I hung up on him. I was taking a chance. He might send the cops after me, or he might decide I was just a crank. If he didn't show up, I'd still go through with this. I wasn't really doing it for anyone. I was doing it for the harbor. No, that's not right. I was doing it for Mr. Rearson and for Marina and for my old man, too. But most of all, I was doing it for me. I grabbed the binoculars and headed out to the back door. It was a warm summer morning. The smell of spruce resin filled the forest air. I hiked the trail that I had walked 1,000 times before as a kid. Up into the forest, up the hill with the wild blue wander above me until I came to the little rock outcropping. A snake slithered away from where it was sunning itself on the rock. I sat down and took my shirt off. The sun was warm on my chest, and I felt a momentary charge of nostalgia for the old days of being a kid, daydreaming away the hours here in the summer sun. The forest used to be full of wildlife. Squirrels and spruce grouse and rabbits, maybe a deer or two. This morning there had only been the snake. And now I thought about how sitting in the sun like this was in itself something dangerous. I had the ozone layer to worry about, potential skin cancer, and what else was already in the air that I was breathing. What fumes from the incinerator after the new stack got built. It could be 10 times worse. I put my shirt back on. I wondered if I was going to have to invest in a gas mask. Why the hell was it that nothing was as simple as it used to be? Why was it that we were willing to take so many chances? Noon passed, and I had tucked myself into the shade of an overhanging maple tree. My eyes ached from squinting through the binoculars. I was feeling lazy and tired. The adrenaline had leaked away, and I basically felt like taking a nap. All my anger and enthusiasm was gone, drained down into the rocks I was sitting on. An old familiar voice was inside my head telling me my plan was stupid. What could I have to prove? I was a loser, right? I felt like I always lost everything I cared about. I had even lost Marina, and it wasn't even my fault. Now I'd lose this place, this harbor, the place I called home. That's when I saw the black smudge out to sea, a dark plum of diesel smoke. I put the binoculars up to my weary eyes and peered through, trying to get past my blurry double vision. It wasn't a container ship headed to Europe, and it wasn't a Coast Guard ship. It was boxy and squat like an army tank, but distorted by the shimmering mirage effects of the sea, magnifying in it several times its real size. I let the binoculars fall to my chest. The loser was still in control of my brain cells, telling me I might as well forget it, lay down and take a nap with the snakes. Then I heard this loud shriek and nearly burst my eardrums. It could have been one of Jack's war cries, but I knew he was too far away, down safely in his cage. I thought for a split second it might well have been one of the bald eagles who flew above this ridge in search of food. But it wasn't that either. I discovered that this call of the wild had come out of me, and suddenly I was wide awake, and I heard an echo to my cry from down below. Jack had heard me, and he was letting me know that he understood. I had shouted down the loser, and he was retired inside my brain somewhere. My heart was pumping, and the floodgates of adrenaline were wide open. I had met the first enemy, and it had been me. Now I was ready to do battle with this black thing on the horizon. We had a rendezvous, and I sure wasn't going to miss it. I sprinted down the hillside, kicking loose some stones and that scattered and rattled as I ran, running through a forest, downhill on a rocky root-strewn trail was a skill I was good at. I could have done this with my eyes closed. "Nick," I said on the phone, "I've spotted the barge. Can you be there?" "You bet," he said, sounding a little more enthusiastic. "Hey, my editor isn't too keen on this. In fact, I don't think he wants me to get involved. He's got a brother working at the plant, but listen." And he suddenly began to whisper. I could picture him cupping his hand over the phone. "I called the wire service. They say that if I can get a good shot of you in direct confrontation, they might want to run it." "What's that mean?" I asked. If it goes out over the wire, then you could get your picture in every paper in the country. Try to get my left side, I said. That's my good one. Just be careful, kid, he said. I know what I'm doing. I lied and hung up.